Chris, are they better than the Chiefs?
Oh, they could beat the Chiefs all day long.
Did you watch the Christmas Day game last year, Chris?
Their defense is way better. Mika Fitzpatrick was killing us. I'm glad he's gone. He was killing us back then.
Are they better than the Ravens, Chris?
Yes.
Why is that?
Man, our defense is better. Our defense is going. All Aaron Rodgers got to do is get 20 points on the board. It's a wrap.
Just 20 points on the board. What about when they could barely score 20 points last year and the defense was giving up 35?
Remember I said this. I'm not gonna argue with you back and forth. They're going to the Super Bowl.
All right, Chris. I'll take your word for it, but I will not believe you for a second.
Listen, it's the first day of training camp. It's report day. Everyone can be optimistic. At least for a couple of days, right?
But is Chris feeling okay?
Maybe delusional
accurate. Did he wake up with a fever? Did he wake up with bucko fever, except for the Steelers, thinking that, you know, did he take some delusional medication this morning? Was there something in his breakfast? Was there something in his eggs?
Did he say, I thought he said at the very beginning, Aaron Rodgers is retiring or retired? I didn't understand.
That's what I didn't frankly understand either. But a man that makes much sense of everything is our friend, the General. And you can listen to this show every week beginning at noon on Fridays. We will give away Starkey's Card of the Week, presented by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, as we are joined by our friend, the General. Jeff, always great to talk to you. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Appreciate you having me. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you as well. It's the first day of training camp, General. It's report day. So I imagine, at least it would make the most sense to me, that there would be a Steeler card given away today as part of Starkey's Card of the Week. If I was Joe, I would imagine that he would probably say Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say TJ Watt after the contract was officially made official yesterday and Watt signed it, announces the Steelers as a four-year deal. My guess is TJ Watt. Sean, what is your guess for Starkey's Card of the Week?
Rodgers.
You think Rodgers? General, lay it on us. What do we have today?
Both A-plus guesses. Can't ridicule those, but we'll wait till they actually break a sweat at camp before we give away a Steeler card.
Okay.
We got Michael Jordan on our team. We're going Paul Skeens. We could actually rename this thing the Skeens Card of the Week, and it wouldn't be a problem.
It's been the Skeens card, I think, like once a month, General.
Well, we have to, right?
Like, yeah.
And after Monday night, it's no choice. Remember the wisdom from Ron Cook when he would say, when everything breaks down, just talk about the Steelers quarterbacks? The baseball card version of that would be, when all breaks down, just give away a Paul Skeens card. We have a
no doubt.
We have a path worn out in the carpet to the Paul Skeens sections. Grandmas come in and ask, grandpas come in and ask, little kids, grown men and women come in and ask, where's your Paul Skeens? So today we're giving away a 2024 Skeens Tops Now rookie card, graded 9.
Nice.
And there's also more information.
Okay.
Today's Topps Chrome release day. Topps Chrome's the most popular product. It's the product where that $1 million Skeens came out of. It was an update, but this is the regular version. The product releases today, so we're going to throw a pack of those cards in also.
There you go.
After Spencer Horowitz goes nuts the last two nights, how can we not throw in a Spencer Horowitz rookie? So we got a trio today for the
It's close.
Listeners.
It's half a six-pack from the General. How about
exactly
this? The
right.
General's delivering all these treats on the first day of camp, and it's all baseball treats.
Day.
General, one question for you on the Skeens cards. A Skeens rookie card, if you had a signed Skeens rookie card and you had it now, what do you think that would be worth in about like 20, 30 years?
Well, the truth is, and I say this to everybody who ever asks me those questions, the truth is no one knows the future, right?
Yeah.
But like, here's what I always couch it with. If anybody's going to be valuable, it's probably going to be Paul Skeens, right? Like, barring an injury, and I don't even want to say that, like, Skeens cards are on a trajectory to be very, very valuable. No one knows the future, but I would feel very safe at betting on Paul Skeens.
General, always appreciate your time. Good talking to you, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. You guys have a good day. Thanks for having me.
You too. That's Jeff Patton, the General from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Car of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group. Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny and hot today and high of 89. Ernie Mills, Sean. You were very excited to put Ernie Mills on the sheet.
You do not remember him one bit, I know.
Please explain Ernie Mills, the lore of Ernie Mills to me.
Yeah, he was an okay receiver for the Steelers in the early to mid-90s, I believe. He and Andre Hastings and a little bit later, Yancey Thigpen.
6 years in Pittsburgh from 91 to 96. He was a part of the team that went to the Super Bowl as well. During that year, 39 catches, 679 yards, and 8 touchdowns. It was the breakout year.
Yeah, he was decent.
For Sir Ernie Mills.
I think he's a good choice for 89. Now, I mixed in some Penguins for Jack Hillgrove. He had no idea some of the guys I was including from the 90s. So, just went Steelers there, figured you would have maybe a chance to at least know Ernie Mills.
All right, coming up next, we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks, and we will continue to talk quarterbacks because it's the Steeler quarterback. And it's so valuable what will happen with Aaron Rodgers this year. But one former Steelers quarterback thinks that the ceiling is a trophy. Could a seventh Lombardi be added to the trophy case? This quarterback thinks that if that's not the case, it's a lost season. This season is a bust. Who said that? It will also debut Austin's limitless list, the 7 Steelers I'm most keeping an eye on in training camp. That's up next, but first, a Sean headline. We're back on the Fan. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net and the Fan text line where you can chime in. It's brought to you by Egger, Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Love interacting with our texters. Also pointing out, Benny Cunningham, number 89. Is also a good high for the weather today, Sean.
Next time it's 89 and I'm producing, I'll include him.
Patrick Queen wears number 6. I am dreading the days that we have 6-degree weather in like the middle of January, middle of December. Typically, we get that like one day in February. The wind chill is like minus 5 degrees. He's one of the first people to speak to the media at Steelers training camp on report day. And according to Brooke Pryor, Queen said that he was surprised by all the Steelers' moves this offseason. He woke up to a text that said, wow, with the eyeball emojis, and thought he got traded for a second, saying, sometimes it comes at a cost, and you lose great people, but then you also gain great people. He also said that he thought that when he saw the Ramsey trade, that maybe he was getting traded. Patrick Queen stays and is going to be needed to be a significant, which I've said, I think, 10 times today, significant.
Someone's keeping track.
Someone is on the text line has said that I've said it 9 times. Because that's the case. There's a lot of huge pieces on this year's team. I've said it as many times as Malzi hit straight threes. Because if these types of players don't perform at the way we think they should or better, this is going to be a long season. So Patrick Queen, last year, was 5th of all linebackers in snaps. He was 13th of all linebackers in pressures. I don't rely on PFF for everything. I do think that they're a good tool and a good resource. Like, PFF should be used to enhance an argument or enhance the value of a player. Not so much with stats like pass rush win rate taking precedent and being more of a higher rated category to use for argument's sake, whether it be defensive player of the year, first team all pro, whatever, then let's say sacks, tackles for loss, quarterback hits, stuff like that. Patrick Queen, according to PFF last year, had an overall grade of 58.5. That was, Sean, 125th out of 189 linebackers last year.
Maybe that's why he's worried about getting traded, huh?
Probably. Because, yeah, Minka didn't perform very well. He ultimately was dealt out. And another thing that I worry about with Patrick Queen is coverage. He's not that great of a coverage linebacker. 122nd out of 189 linebackers. Below average. A 53.8 coverage grade.
But he's still ahead of Cam Hayward in the NFL top 100.
Yeah, so voted on by the players, by the way. So the players think that Patrick Queen is better than Cam Hayward.
That's weird because you would say
disrespect and shade thrown at Cam Hayward.
You would say, oh, that's a reputation for Queen because he was so good prior to that. But wouldn't Hayward have an incredible reputation?
So what do we think that Patrick Queen is so good at, Sean, right? Run defense. He's very good at helping to stop the run. Well, if you watched every snap last year, it didn't seem like Patrick Queen was that great at stopping the run. Well, PFF agreed. Out of his overall grade and his coverage grade, of the 189 linebackers, the worst grade that PFF gave Patrick Queen was in run defense. 56.8, 146 out of 189 linebackers last year. Patrick Queen was brought here on what some people thought would be a more rich deal than he ultimately signed, but still an expensive contract. One of the highest paid players on the team, one of the highest paid players on defense. And he records a well below average run defense grade. That's what he was brought in here to do. Stop the run. Fix communication. Wear the green dot. Be somebody that this team could depend on against quality opponents coming over from the Ravens. Understands the division. Grass greener on the other side. And I don't think we've talked enough about how Patrick Queen has not been able to live up to the billing. And that this is a huge year two for him.
I'm guessing Landon Roberts probably graded out much better than he did. Certainly you would figure against the run.
Well, yeah, Landon Roberts, who ultimately went to the Raiders, had a much better season last year against the run. Fifth best linebacker of those 189 with a 90.4 grade. Now his coverage grade is not good. It's below average at 50.9. But the overall grade for Landon Roberts was 77.2, 22nd in all football. They let Landon Roberts go, and they ultimately decide to bring in Malik Harrison at middle linebacker. Malik Harrison of the Ravens. They're just deciding to pick off linebackers from the Ravens and decide we'll just throw them in to the Steelers scheme and system, and they'll work fine. Malik Harrison had an overall grade of 50.7. Run defense, he was okay. Above average at 68. Coverage grade at 30.6. So you better hope that Peyton Wilson is going to be able to take that year two jump, which I do believe he's able to do, because Patrick Queen is even going to need some help and need some assistance. And frankly, he's had moments. He's done well at times. Remember that game against the Ravens? He had the forced fumble, stuff like that. But Landon Roberts, it was right there to bring him back. So Patrick Queen, one of the first to report for camp, he is back in the fold and in need of a big year too, or else he might end up being somebody like Minka that could end up going. 412-928-9370. Here is Ken in Mount Washington to chime in. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, I'm just calling in, chiming in here. I know it's a Pittsburgh radio talk show.
Yes,
and there's a lot of homers here. But what are these people drinking? You got them drinking the Kool-Aid that they're going to the Super Bowl?
Ken, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. There's somebody that's drinking it. I don't know what spiked that Kool-Aid, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, but the one guy that called prior to me said that Super Bowl, we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm telling you what, they're not even thinking and talking about the team that's going to win the division, which is the Baltimore Ravens. Well, nobody's talking about them. They got a running game that we can't stop.
I think we all think, Ken, that they're going to win the division. Like, I think the ultimate highest ceiling possible for the Steelers is win the division to be able to beat out Baltimore. I don't think they're better than Baltimore. They're not better than Baltimore offensively. They're not better than Baltimore defensively.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is true. But the other thing, too, is if Joe Burrow has the year he might have, just like you're saying, Aaron Rodgers, if he has the year he might have, you know, it's about a lot of might-haves. Go with the facts. The facts is the Ravens that are going to win the division, and Pittsburgh people just won't accept it.
Do you think they'll finish second or third in the division, Ken?
Who is?
The Steelers.
Second or third? They're probably going to finish tied with the Bengals for second.
Tied with the Bengals. Thank you, Ken. Cincinnati right now has a defense that they're not paying their best player in Trey Hendrickson. He is currently in Miami after training in Cincinnati. He went to Miami basically to just hang out because the Bengals will not guarantee more than the first year. Wake up, Bengals. Notice the TJ Watt contract. Notice the Myles Garrett contract. Not saying you have to offer that, but guarantees past the first year. That is reality now. You know, Cincinnati, get over it. Their ownership group just doesn't want to do it. Well, too bad. You want to keep good players? That's what you have to do. That's what you did with Burrow. That's what you did with Chase. Trey Hendrickson's a really good pass rusher. He's not Watt. He's not Parsons. He's not Garrett. He's in that next tier. He's a $35 million a year player. 33 to 35. Shamar Stewart, they won't give guarantees in his rookie contract that are natural to what you are supposed to get as a rookie. So Cincinnati's got their own issues. They won't fix their own defense that they got rid of Pratt, their leading tackler last year. Their defensive line has been shifted and not in a good way. And they can't even get their first round pick signed. The Bengals might score 30 a year. They score 30 a game. They might give up 35 a game. So I'm not that confident that the Bengals are going to be this team that just runs through the NFL because they're not going to be able to stop anything unless they get those two situations figured out. They're just not.
I'm still baffled by the Shamar Stewart situation. It just seems like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, they don't want to give him like guarantees that have been worked into previous contracts for players that are, you know, typical guarantees. They want him to basically earn them like incentives, I believe.
Second round picks are now getting guarantees by and large.
It's just Cincinnati, the way they do business, they have to change, they have to adapt, and they are frankly not willing to do that right now, which is just honestly flat out ridiculous. This should not be something. It's also a bad first impression on potential rookies that come in down the line. Everybody thinks that there's a stigma around Cincinnati anyway, that they're cheap, that they don't pay players, that they don't do good enough to be able to enhance facilities, stuff like that. Sure, they paid Burrow. Sure, they paid Chase. They had to. I mean, if you don't, what type of messaging does that send? Cincinnati, I'm very high on their offense, but their defense brings them back to the pack where I think they might win 10 games. But I still like the Steelers' chances against the Bengals because they've done decent against Burrow. They've kept that offense in check. And as long as they can score against a put-together ragtag defense, they got a good chance. Now, to pay off the tease, Ben Roethlisberger thinks that this season could be one for the ages. Ben, a two-time Super Bowl champion who was beaten looking for a third against Aaron Rodgers, thinks that A-Rod, if he does not take the Steelers to the Super Bowl, the season is a bust. This is On Football and with Ben and Spence.
Like, are we going to find a way to still go, you know, 500 with all this talent? Yeah. Or are we going to bury people and win the Super Bowl?
When Coach Tomlin built this team, there's no way that they're saying that we're like 500 or that's not even like on the table right now.
Yeah.
This team right now is built, and what Coach Tomlin has built is a Super Bowl or bust team, in my opinion.
I agree.
And so I don't want to sit there and say that anything short of that is a failed season, because that seems like that's unfair pressure. But it also feels like that's what they've built for. And so it's not about, you know, just getting to the playoffs. Like, and it's not even just just winning a playoff game. Yes, that's a step up and that's great. But that can't be what is the final goal of this team. It can't be that. This team is built right now to go to a Super Bowl and to win a Super Bowl. And so it needs to happen.
Is it? I mean, outside of Tom Brady, quarterbacks in their 40s don't win in the playoffs outside of going to the Super Bowl with a lot of defensive spending where the league has shifted to offense, the rules have shifted to offense, offensive coaches typically are the ones that are winning. Look at Sirianni, look at Andy Reid, look at just some of these teams that are the ones typically at the top of the NFL. There's a lot of offensive coaches. Now, sure, you could throw McDermott out there. You could throw Harbaugh out there. You could throw Tomlin. Tomlin also has not won a playoff game in 8 years. Most of the teams that win and win championships and go far have offensive coaches, or they have a coordinator that runs an electrifying offense. Ben Johnson with the Lions last year with Campbell more of a defensive guy. Dan Quinn in Washington. Cliff Kingsbury, former head coach, good offensive coordinator with Jaden Daniels. Joe Brady in Buffalo with Sean McDermott. A good scheme around Lamar in Baltimore. We don't know what the scheme is with Arthur Smith. We know that they want to run the ball heavily. Is it because they don't have the personnel yet, or at least they haven't, that we truly know or don't know what the Arthur Smith offense is? Like, I don't think Arthur Smith's offense is one that stacks up scheme-wise with motions, shifts, everything that comes with it, with the likes of Ben Johnson, Joe Brady, Andy Reid, Sirianni, those type of guys, Ben Johnson. That's why it's another prove-it type of year to determine what the case is with Arthur Smith and adding Jonnu Smith, DK Metcalf, how he best utilizes those players. But Super Bowl or bust? Sean, this is more like win a playoff game or bust. Super Bowl?
So, yeah, I would say talent-wise, if you're looking at the Steelers, what's the absolute best case scenario, even if you're on the positive side of things, of where they rank talent-wise in the AFC? Fourth best? Best case scenario?
Best case scenario. They're not better than Kansas City. They're not better than Buffalo. And I would say they're not better than the Ravens.
Right.
The rosters of all three of those teams are better than theirs.
Agreed. Even if you say, hey, I think they're better than the Broncos, which is iffy. I think they're better than the Texans, which
Houston,
is iffy.
Houston's good. Houston's got a better quarterback than them.
But you could make that argument if you see everything working out well and you think Rodgers will have a good season and these additions on defense will make a difference. You could say they're the fourth best team in the AFC. So how realistic is it to think, if that's the case, that they're going to find a way to knock off or get past or be the last team standing over those other three teams and avoid an upset along the way as well? I just don't see that happening.
No.
And that's why I don't think you can realistically say Super Bowl or bust. That's just putting expectations way too high for this team. There's no reason to believe. I mean, when was the last time they won a playoff game? Now you think that they're going to win potentially three playoff games? That seems very unreasonable. Even as we said, the fact that you can be overly optimistic this time of year, that's just not a realistic way of looking at things.
Yeah, I mean, look at how it turned out in Atlanta. I thought Kyle Pitts was supposed to be a star under Arthur Smith. I thought that Bijan Robinson, who had some really good years in Atlanta, was supposed to flourish even more than he did in that system with Arthur Smith. Play action offense, utilize tight ends. I mean, Drake London's a good receiver. It feels like, at least to me, and I might be wrong, they didn't utilize him well enough either. And when the pieces were all in place with Derrick Henry, a Hall of Famer, and Ryan Tannehill was just really good in that scheme, and we know how good A.J. Brown is, they had a lot of really good pieces around them. Will that be the same with this Steeler team with Arthur Smith? I have my doubts, but I still think that it's good enough to be able to get to them potentially a wild card spot. But in that case, you're playing matchups. If you're going to Buffalo, the final year of that stadium, extra juice, Josh Allen coming off an MVP, good chance he's going to go for another. Or Lamar, I mean, Lamar in the last two games that he played the Steelers have typically had Lamar's number. They have owned the Ravens over the last 5 years. Yeah, that flipped on that night in Baltimore when Lamar and the Ravens, despite a Minkah Fitzpatrick interception, beat the Steelers handily and then whooped them in the playoffs. Derrick Henry, the running game, 300 yards. On the field for the final 10 minutes their offense was against the Steelers' defense. So Super Bowl or bust, how about win a playoff game first and then we'll talk? Like, I'm sure the mentality from Ben always was win the Super Bowl or bust when he was the quarterback, just because of the pieces around him. Tomlin was younger and actually winning playoff games. You have to be able to start on the ground before you start on the fifth level, the fifth floor right now. I mean, they're looking at the very top. They're looking at the penthouse when right now they should be okay with an apartment on the second floor.
I will say players, as they head into a season, they should set their sights very high.
They
right?
should.
You don't want to settle for being mediocre or slightly better than that. If you're a player who's been around for 5-7 years, you desperately want to get a playoff win, and then you just want to keep stacking. You're not just going to say, well, we got one playoff win. That's all that we've really needed. But for the players to set that goal, that's one thing. For someone from the outside to say it's Super Bowl or bust, I just don't think that's realistic.
So, one texter says, Austin, so in love with Baltimore. They're 3-8 against the Steelers in the last 11. That's against the likes of Pickett, Trubisky, and Russell Wilson. In division is in division. Quit acting like Baltimore is Kansas City. I did mention that the Steelers have owned the Ravens over the last 5 years. That is very true. But it's also a what have you done for me lately league, and what have you done in the last two games against Baltimore, especially, and the playoffs are supposed to matter more than the regular season, right? And they got their lunch handed to them. So there is some concern because Baltimore does have a better roster than them. And I feel like Lamar Jackson has kind of figured out the defense. That was always the big thing. They just crushed Lamar. Great with the pass rush. Great with disguising things against Lamar. He would throw interceptions. He would not be himself. Lamar would not be himself against the Steelers. He'd miss throws. Remember the Mark Andrews two-point conversion that he missed, that throw? Lamar has always struggled against the Steelers. But in those last two games, it seemed like he found an extra gear. And that is something that should be a little bit concerning moving forward. So Super Bowl or bust, how about you try to win the division and have a home playoff game? Then we'll talk. 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM, and AM 1020 KDKA, as well as WAMO 107.3. Are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping off at a location near you, including Piata Italian Street Food in Robinson, as well as Northway Mall. For details, visit 937thefan.com to drop off your donation, brought to you by GBU Life, Life Insurance, Annuities, and Member Benefits since 1892. Also, you can listen to the Pop and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And make sure to check out Breaking Bread, Jack Hillgrove, on the newest edition of Breaking Bread, presented by Saloni's Italian Bread. Sat down with Bill Hillgrove, his grandfather. You can watch it on the 937 The Fan YouTube page. Jack went to Gian Ellis in Greensburg to chat with Billy, as Billy talked about his long career as a broadcaster. And in a special segment found on Saloni's Instagram page, Bill reveals the former partner with whom he would like to be stranded on an island with. Who do you think that would be? Do you think Pat Bostick would rank high on that list?
I think the answer is Dick Groat. That would be my guess. Yeah, I haven't tuned in yet. And I will say the way it's phrased is a little weird because I don't think anyone wants to be stranded on an island. Maybe that's the best option to be with, but I don't think you're actively rooting to be stranded on an island. Well, maybe some
Nobody
people
is. Are. If you were actively rooting to be stranded on an island,
Ron
who would
Cook,
you...
that might be up his alley.
I think Ron would thrive on a deserted island because as long as there is just beer flowing and food out there, maybe they'll plant a Domenico's on the deserted island. That's all he would need, Sean. That's all the life that Ron would have to live. Sean.
Austin.
The people can call now to win 4 tickets to the Pony League World Series at Lou Hayes Pony Field from August 8th to the 13th. Sean will pick up your information. Caller number 6 to our dear friend Sean Myers at 412-928-9370 wins the Pony League World Series tickets. Really fun event. I was there for 2 years working the event when I was in college at Waynesburg. So make sure to check that out. Up next, Austin's Limitless List. The 7 Steelers I'm most keeping my eye on in training camp as it starts with the first day of practice tomorrow. Also, Tyler Kennedy will join us at the top of the hour. Dan Zangrilli, Mark Cabali, and Jeff Hathorn in the final jam-packed, loaded hour of Steelers talk, and Zangrilli from down at the ballpark. We'll get a trade deadline discussion going with Dan, what Dan is currently hearing, and the newest Mitch Keller rumor that has dropped. And your thoughts at 412-928-9370. Sean has a headline, and we're right back on the Fan.
What better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win. You know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run. I've enjoyed it.
50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. And The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That was Aaron Rodgers on this being his last season, why he is retiring with the Steelers. That was when he spoke to the media, when he was officially signed, sealed, delivered, all ready to go at his press conference. And he thinks that the Steelers, he said that the Steelers will have his all this year and what is likely to be, most likely, about 95% chance, his final season.
I'm going to give the Steelers everything that I got and empty the tank and be super comfortable and satisfied with whatever happens. Obviously, we dream about playing at the highest level in the biggest games.
That was Rodgers during mandatory minicamp. Today, he is not yet, will report to Steelers training camp as the number one player that I am keeping an eye on this year. And it comes after Aaron Rodgers, just a season ago, played his first full year after just four snaps with the Jets, hurting his Achilles, first year away from Green Bay, played all 17 games last year. And Rodgers has been a dependable player dating back to 2014. Outside of that season against the Jets where he hurt his Achilles, he's played every single game outside of one in every season other than 2017 when he was hurt and was only able to play seven games. So Aaron Rodgers has been pretty healthy in his career. He's the number one player all time in interception percentage. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He's the number one quarterback in NFL history in quarterback rating. He is also the number one quarterback in NFL history in sacks. And that is something that just cannot happen this year. They have to make sure to protect Aaron Rodgers and keep him upright. 5-12 last year with the Jets. Rodgers, though, could still sling it, man. 63% completion rate. He's 65% for his career, so down just a tad bit. And I mean, again, he's not the 28-year-old winning MVPs anymore that he once was. 28 touchdowns, 11 picks. His last season in Green Bay, 26 touchdowns, 12 picks. What's a realistic goal for Rodgers this year? 27 touchdowns and 7 picks? 8 picks? If that's the case, I think the Steelers do have an opportunity to pull off a couple of upsets in games that people don't see them winning. Now, remember this. They're only favored in 6 games this year, which is kind of odd if you think about it. Like, they're not favored in the Vikings game in Ireland. Neutral site, that means that Vegas thinks that the Vikings are better than the Steelers. They're favored in both games against the Cleveland Browns. They're favored against the Jets. But there are other games, like not favored against Baltimore. They're not favored against some of the best teams. They're favored against the Colts, but they're not favored against some of those top teams that they will play at the end of the season, obviously, that you would expect, like Lions, Buffalo, stuff like that. So I think Aaron Rodgers, as the number one player I'm keeping an eye on, and we've consumed so much Aaron Rodgers, whether it be what he said on McAfee, the documentary on Netflix, Rodgers during his introductory press conference with the media. But the real question remains, does he still have it? And a big reason why is because of player number two on the Steeler that I'm most keeping my eye on, and that's Broderick Jones. Can he make the transition of offensive tackles for the Steelers over the last 15 years that haven't been dominant? Like, there's been no Joe Thomas on this team. There's been, you know, there's no Michael Orr on this offensive line playing any position.
Orlando Pace.
There's no Orlando Pace. There's no Tony Munoz.
Trent Williams.
But can Broderick Jones be a solid tackle that's better than Dan Moore? Like, Dan Moore, we gave Dan Moore a lot of crap. Dan Moore was fine. Wasn't good enough to want to keep around. He wasn't good enough to want to sign to the contract that he did, what, over $70 million from the Titans over 4 years? What did he get, 80, 72, 82 million, whatever? Dan Moore was overpaid. Broderick Jones needs to be able to make this transition and be productive to protect Aaron Rodgers so that Sayamalu isn't helping him out on that side and leaving gaps open for Zach Frazier to have to take care of and leaving gaps up the middle where he's going to have his handful with some of the best defensive tackles Madubuike, Chris Jones, those types in the NFL. If Broderick Jones can protect Aaron Rodgers, they're going to have a chance to win a lot of games. Those two work hand in hand. Number three of the seven Steelers I'm most keeping an eye on, it's Arnie Smith. He is the only non-player on my list. But Arthur Smith, how he is able to put these pieces together. 10 new starters altogether on the Steelers. A lot of that coming on offense with DK Metcalf, Robert Woods, Caleb Johnson, Aaron Rodgers, Jonnu Smith. How does Arthur Smith put this puzzle together? How does he formulate this in training camp with limited snaps in preseason to be able to facilitate the offense? Patrick Queen is four. And Sean, we talked about Patrick Queen a little bit already, but I feel like even though his tackle numbers were tops on the team, he is not somebody who I think has risen to expectations.
Maybe you make the argument, okay, first year with a new team, still getting adjusted. Now, honestly, I don't think that's a great excuse for a proven commodity like him, but you have to see something better in this second year. There's no doubt about that. We've mentioned a lot of resources into this defense. Overall, it needs to be better. Certainly against the run, it needs to be better. He's going to be a big part of that. If he doesn't improve, then you have to wonder, can the defense truly take a big leap forward? I think he's going to be instrumental if they are able to make that next step.
And as the main communicator with Minka being part of that last year, wasn't the green dot guy, but I wonder how communication, and you know, a lot of people might say that that's overblown, but still, how does Ramsey communicate with Queen, communicates with the defensive line, all those regards? And number five is actually somebody that I'm pretty high on. Now, it might not sound like it so far based on where I have him or the lack thereof of playing on offense. It's Roman Wilson. Like, I've heard good things about Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson in college was a successful 10-touchdown, dependable weapon of J.J. McCarthy. Like, he was their passing game. If you're high on J.J. McCarthy, which I'm not, you should be high on Roman Wilson, but at the flip side, and that might be counterintuitive to the argument I'm trying to make, if you're not high on J.J. McCarthy, you should be even higher on Roman Wilson because that guy was getting open and being very productive with a quarterback that, frankly, I don't think is all that good.
And a team that really didn't need to throw the football very much.
No, with an offensive line that had multiple guys drafted, Harbaugh with a good scheme, two running backs in Corum and Donovan Edwards that were good, and a defensive lineman that had so many players drafted. Whether it be Mikey Sanders still, multiple guys on the defensive line. Think about who's the guy that just got picked by Cleveland, fifth overall from Michigan?
Graham?
Yeah, Mason Graham.
Yeah.
He was a part of that defense.
That said, I mean, we've seen guys have very successful college careers and can't make the transition. I would still be worried about him because they just never seemed interested in giving him a chance. I mean, they made a trade to bring in a receiver because they didn't want to give Roman Wilson that opportunity. They kept making the moving bus or moving train.
Yeah, he can't hop on the moving train. He played all of five snaps last year.
I mean, that's if you're a talented player, I understand he was injured at times, but if you're a talented player, they're going to find ways to get you on the field, even if maybe you aren't fully up to speed. So I would have some pessimism about Roman Wilson, but if we don't see it soon, you have to wonder if it's ever going to happen. I think this is a make-or-break camp, and I think early on in the season, we'll know if he's going to be part of the equation or not.
A lot of people are mentioning as well, like, poor scheme causing players to underperform. I think that's fair. Like, I do wonder what Terrell Austin's true scheme and philosophy would look like if there wasn't a lot of Tomlin influence. Would it be better? Would it be worse? I don't know. I'm at least kind of curious on what it would be. Another texter points out, and a lot of people have kind of mentioned this, like, how many times have the Ravens won the division 3 years in a row? And should we really give the Ravens the benefit of the